Hi, I'm Elvis Costello. Marian McPartland has asked me to sit in this week's Piano Jazz. The last time I appeared on this program, Marian and I performed a version of her composition, Threnody, for which I'd written words. So perhaps it's appropriate that the guest on today's show is also a songwriter, but so much more. He is one of New Orleans' most gifted musicians. His reputation as an arranger, record producer, and the writer of such tunes as Ruler of My Heart, Ride Your Pony, Working in a Coal Mine, Freedom for the Stallion, and Southern Nights stretches from the early 60s to the present day. His musical personality begins with a unique relationship with the piano keyboard. He is a living embodiment of the rich musical heritage of the Crescent City. He is, of course, Mr. Alan Toussaint. Alan, thank you for joining me on Piano Jazz.
My pleasure.
Well, you just led straight into the thought that I had, that the piano was a fixture in my grandfather's front room, and it was a fixture in many people's parlor, whether or not they could play it. I wondered, when was the first time you heard the actual sound of the piano, and what were the circumstances, and how did it strike you?
Well, a piano was given to my sister by my aunt. And though my family was a poor as Job's turkey, you might say, the ladies thought it would be quite dignified for a young lady like my sister to play the piano or violin. And there was a piano at my aunt's house that wasn't being used, so she gave it to my sister. So the men went out and got it on a truck, and I was on her about 6 and a half. And the street was very bumpy, and they had it on the back of a truck and bringing this old upright down. And every time we hit a bump, the strings would resonate. And I could hear down the street, and all the kids were running behind and seeing this big piece of furniture coming. And they set it in the front room of my parents' home. And I walked over to it and just touched one note. And it was instant gratification. It wasn't like picking up a trumpet for the first time and getting almost nothing, a small elephant sound. But I got a pleasant sound by just touching this large instrument. So it was love at first touch.
There are the beginnings of your sense of melody. It's something that all jazz musicians do in their apprenticeship, is to transcribe things. And you, although you may not have been writing these down, you were absorbing them by ear, very complex music. And playing it in another key, that's quite an extraordinary apprenticeship. It must have had some impact. Maybe it's not something that you were self-conscious about. The other element of the New Orleans musical tradition in which I think of you is the unique rhythmic brew that's in New Orleans music. There are perhaps two or three or four or five different threads, different churches, if you want to think of them, in New Orleans music. I mean, there is New Orleans jazz, which is world famous, and perhaps the music that's come out of rhythm and blues, but is rhythmically motivated in a way that's unlike any other city in America or anywhere else in the world. And it probably has to do with the fact that New Orleans is, in some ways, part of the Caribbean.
Yes, so I didn't know how different it was from the rest of the world, right. But I knew what this music was. And it did have its own thing. And, of course, big element was when I was shocked by Professor Longhair.
Yeah. What was the first piece you heard by Professor Longhair? And tell me just about your impression of him.
Oh, the early pieces were things like the Hattie Bounce and things even like In the Night. And the one that I will soul forever was when I first heard Tipitina, of course. Tipitina and then Hey Little Girl. Later on, it developed into. That was the natural evolution.
Yeah. And once that movement comes into it, you start to really hear what I think a lot of people hear as that particular church of New Orleans piano playing. It never seems to get old.
Right. It's as profound as Bach.
Can you play in this moment? Can you find it in any moment that you sit down? Is it? I've heard you play it many times.
Tipitina?
Yeah.
Thank you.
A lot of songs have that ability in New Orleans music to be played for a long time. I mean, do you think that comes out of that dancehall tradition?
Oh, yes.
And building a tension up. It's not about getting wildly out in harmonically so much as this constant growing, rolling form.
Yes.
Good and word. Professor Longhair was a great singer.
Yes.
When did you find your voice? I think sometimes you're a little modest about your own singing, but you started to hear the voice in relation to the piano as a songwriter. What age were you when you first thought of doing that?
Well, I started writing songs with lyrics to them at 12. But as far as my own voice, I've never paid much attention to that because that's the last thing on the totem pole. But writing songs seemed to have been a natural evolution. Yeah. But I preferred thinking them than to actually sing them. But then I began writing for other singers to sing. Of course, I had to sing it so they can get to know it. And I'm still singing about like that.
But how did you make that jump to actually showing them to people who presumably you felt could sing them publicly?
Early on, I became a session player in the studio to play on recordings. And sometimes those talent scouts or whoever were in charge would have a song for an artist and they may not have another one. And all sessions were done four songs during that day. A session was 3 hours and you always did four songs. And sometimes after I would be there and they played on one of the songs and it all went well, whoever was in charge would come over and say, "We need another song. Do you have any songs?" Even though I didn't have any at the time, we'd take a break and I'd write one. And during that break, and then I would sing it to the artists, and they would we'd record that. So,
and these songs are more, you know, the music that you're mentioning, listening, you've mentioned classical music, that opera and your mother's taste, and you mentioned Benny Goodman, you mentioned songs which are, you know, that I suppose they're either based on standards or they're jazz compositions. But the recording sessions you're talking about now are presumably more in the R&B pop realm.
Yes. And let me add that another important element I found in my early days of playing the piano, even early as the Professor Longhair, I heard a lot of hillbilly music on the radio before R&B got its rightful place on the airwaves. There was loads and loads of hillbilly music, so there was a lot of saloon-type pianos. Yeah. And I heard that
Moon Mulligan
trilling on the pianos, and I just thought that was a whole lot of beautiful things happening. So I went behind that with a vengeance.
It's the hidden soul music of America, because often the harmony is very simple. It explains a lot about where you led to jump forward quite a bit. It must have been perhaps not such a strange thing and probably quite a thrilling thing for you that an artist like Glenn Campbell would pick up your song Southern Nights, which is a descriptive song. When you play it, it's totally of your life. When he sings it, I think of him as a very elegant country artist.
Yes.
But he takes a song and it became reborn as a up-tempo country pop song. It was sort of a paid off something, really, that you were listening to all those years before.
I'm so glad he did, too, because he made it the people's song. At first, it was just mine.
Yeah.
It was just a story, because I didn't write it to be a song. And it was just a culmination of life. When my father would take us visiting out in the country to visit the old Creole-speaking people and everything that happened in the country, the smells, the sights, and things that the city never would see. I was just sharing that with a kind of music. And I sang through a Leslie to put it in the trees and in the breeze so I wouldn't take the responsibility of singing a song.
Can I ask you just to sing a few bars of the melody, just to hear the melody expressed in that freer way that you play it for yourself in your own rendition?
Southerner, have you ever felt a Southerner? Free as a breeze, not to mention the trees, whistling tunes that you know and love so. Southern skies, just as good even when closed your eyes. I apologize to anyone who can truly say that he has found a better way. Feels so good, feels so good, it's frightening, wished I could stop this world from fighting. La da da, la da 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 da, la da da.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.